Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 212 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I talked to Mike from Centex Smokers. I am so excited to bring this interview. I've wanted to talk to him for a while now. We've been going back and forth. The timing of this one is really great because Mo Kaysen just received his pit from Mike at Centex, and it looks gorgeous. I'll put photos below. I'll put links to it below. Mo's been sharing it like crazy. It's beautiful. He does really great work, and he's done work for Killens. I'll keep this intro brief because there's a lot to tell, and you get a really good chance of seeing his passion for what he does, for the quality, and how he wants to grow his business. I think you're going to want to reach out to him to have him build a pit. Right now, his lead times are short, so give him a DM, give him a call. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And also, too, from listening to this and watching this, if you just listen to the podcast, check the YouTube at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. You'll see that he's a really good dude. He's a nice guy, humble, hardworking, and I know you're going to love this. I can't thank Mike enough for taking the time. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com, or check them out at their Dripping Springs location, 26 acres. Sprawling, have Alice's Restaurant, which is a barbecue and live fire restaurant. You try all their bourbons there, their gin, their rum, awesome cocktails. It's a killer location. You've got to check it out. They're open 6 days a week now, social distancing, all that good stuff. Again, that's treatyoakdistilling.com. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, tons of content. Got to check that out. I'm on all the social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. If you're digging these and digging all these, I'm putting out 2 to 3 of these per week. Subscribe, leave a comment, let me know what you think. But at the end, stay safe. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy this from Mike. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. Having to deal with all the rain and craziness down here today. It's like crappy weather. So,
is that like a normal thing during this time of year for rain? Because it seems like off and on it's been raining recently.
Not really. Well, I mean, it has been. It like rains at the worst times here. So, like today, I was actually going to start sandblasting Big Mo's pit, but you can't sandblast if there's any moisture in the air. So, push it back till tomorrow, I guess. But typically in June, it's pretty hot and dry here. So.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But the world's weird to begin with. Just add that on.
Yeah, par for the course with everything going on right now.
Exactly. First off, like I want to learn all about your history and learn about what's going on sure. with you during COVID. How are you? How's your family? How are you guys doing?
Oh man, we're hanging in there. My wife actually works for a hospital in Austin, or a hospital based out of Austin.
Oh man.
But she's been working from home, I think, since March. She's actually been stuck at home with my 6-year-old. I think she's ready to go back to work. So
she does something that she could be at home and work from home?
Yes, sir. She actually works in the fundraising department for the hospital. They have like some initiatives that they do where they provide some free healthcare on the rural areas. So she's on a board that like they hold events and stuff to raise money for that. So she can do everything from her laptop pretty much. Not getting to go out and meet with customers.
Want
to
get out.
We've been trying to find excuses to go out and do stuff here and there, but it's mostly like my dad lives out here out in the country, and we have access to a big piece of land, and he's got ponds to fish in and stuff. So been trying to do a lot of outdoor stuff, try to get outside the house. So.
That's healthy. That's important. That's very important. You live in Luling, right?
Yes, sir. I live in town, and then my dad lives about, I guess, 7 miles out or so. And then that's actually where the shop's located, where we're building the smoker. So.
Okay. Oh, out by your dad?
Yes, sir. The shop's actually back behind his house down the hill. So get to commute 10 minutes every day out here. So.
It sounds awful.
It's not that bad. So, when I was working full, I got laid off recently due to oil prices. I usually work in the oil field, and I was commuting about 1 hour and 15 minutes each way every day. So 10 minutes is way better. So
way better. So if in the oil, did you go down? Is it like south? Is that where you would be doing stuff?
Yeah, I was driving down south, down towards the Kennedy, Carn City area. I guess it'd be like southeast of San Antonio. And actually, I worked for an automation company, and I worked on a couple different projects for him. And before that, I was working up around Brenham, which is about an hour and 45 minutes from my house. So I was driving almost 2 hours there and 2 hours back every day.
Yeah, that's like Los Angeles traffic, but you were probably not in dead traffic. You were probably straight away.
That's all farm to market roads pretty much. So
you have to slow down at a lot of those places? Oh, yeah, because you're by Truth too, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. As soon as I started working up there, I was like, man, I'm going to find a reason to work on a Saturday. And I finally got in there, and I actually got on it on a Friday the first time. But yeah, it was great. Yeah, I really liked working up in that area. It's a beautiful part of the country, too.
Oh, yeah. Really beautiful. So did you grow up in Luling?
Yes, sir. I'm born and raised in Luling. And then I moved away like right after high school for, I guess, probably 5 or 6 years. And then my wife and I, you know, we had a child and all that. So we wanted to be closer to home. And, you know, she graduated from A&M. We actually both lived in College Station for a couple of years. We moved back home. So
what was it like growing up in Luling?
Well, you know, city market's a plus. Other than that, yeah, not a whole lot going on. I mean, it's a great place to live, other than the fact that everybody says it stinks. But other than that, you know, regular old small town Texas, you know, grow up and fishing and hunting and, you know, playing sports.
Deer processing places are all around.
There's quite a few in the area, yes, sir.
No, coming from when I lived in Texas for a year, and coming from California, at first when I saw processing, I didn't even know what that meant because we just don't have that. And I don't come from a background of hunting. Sir. Although I have no issues with that, I just never had. It's Texas is unique. And if people are listening to this or watching and have never been to Texas, that's, and I'm sure it's throughout the South, I would think, and probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Montana.
Yeah. Too, especially in Texas, the further south you go, the more deer processing, but like every town will have a deer processing place, which is kind of good. You know, when I was working down that part of the country, down south, it was good because I actually passed by like two or three meat markets on my way home.
That's nice.
Of course, my wife was mad at me because she was wondering why $200 was gone every time I got paid. But I was stopping by there on the way home, loading up on fajitas and everything, anything I get, dried sausage.
Oh, that's all so that great. Good stuff. Yeah, we don't quite have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you go into welding then were you into welding at a younger age, or did your dad have a shop was that something that you guys did?
Yeah. My dad actually didn't build the shop until I was in high school. But my dad, and I kind of got to tell you my dad's history, tell you mine.
Cool.
Okay. My dad started welding when he was about 13. I think it was 13. Wow. He started off working in a machine shop and, you know, found out he loved welding. He knew that's what he wanted to do. And, he got into it. You know, he did mostly oil field fabrication, stuff like that, around here back in the day. He did pipeline for a little bit. I think I was about 5 or 6 the first time he had me start cracking, you know, running beads and stuff, which I wasn't very good at.
5 or 6.
But, 5 or 6.
That was awesome.
Like our Saturday morning ritual, like, because I was a pretty hyper and bad kid. So my mom was always like, Saturdays, you're not in school, you're going to work with your dad. So
it keeps you focused, right?
Yeah, so I grew, you know, most of the time back then we were working, you know, just anywhere he could work, you know, in a random yard or anything, and I just pretty much grew up watching him work and climbing all over the equipment, you know, just being a kid. But yeah. I never really had like I always enjoyed it, but I didn't ever want to do it because that's what my dad did. And then as I got older, you know, I started working in a machine shop when I was in junior high as a summer job, and I just always kind of stuck. I was actually more involved in the machine shop than the welding end. I worked as a machinist for a couple of years when I was in college. My first go to college, I think I did a lot more beer drinking than going to class. So,
no, that's very typical.
The 4-year degree might not be in the works for me, so I went and got a welding degree. And then when I finished the program, I still, you know, I started working in the oil field. I wasn't using. You know, I knew how to weld and all that. I just was, you know, I was doing it for myself, little hobby stuff, building stuff for my wife or whatever. When oil dropped, I guess it was 2015, I got laid off. That's just kind of part of the business. But I started working for myself. And I guess for about 2.5 years, I did fabrication, mostly doing like handrails, custom gates, stuff like that for newer homes. I was doing a lot of work around Austin, New Braunfels. Mm-hmm. And then oil prices came back up and I went back again and, you know, got another 2.5 years out of it. And then, Sente, or my dad was actually building a pit for, a guy here in town, a competition cooker. He cooks some local cook-offs. And I've been telling him for probably 3 or 4 years about, you know, some of these pit builders in Texas. And, you know, his whole life, his whole philosophy on barbecue pits, oh, you can't make no money on barbecue pits. It's too much time. Nobody wants to pay you for it, you know. And I'm showing him, look, you know, this guy has this waiting list, and this guy, you know, he's getting this much for one. And he's, oh, you know, they're just saying that. No way. And he started building a pit for that competition guy. And I said, you know, you need to do like an insulated firebox and all this. And, you know, he didn't really, the pits he had built, you know, in the 90s or whatever, insulated fireboxes and all that weren't really a thing. No. You know, nobody, it was kind of me trying to, I had to convince him first that, you know, it was even possible to sell these pits and all that. And then he actually built the prototype for the built-in dampers in the door, because I was showing him, yeah, you know, everybody uses the door as a damper. And he's kind of old school and opinionated. He,
no, that's a bad.
If you're paying that much for a smoker, you know, if you're paying that much for a smoker, who wants to use the door? And I said, no, putting dampers would be really cool. I was still working full-time at the time, and he was toying with it in the afternoons with that pit. And I came out one day, and he was like, you know, go check that out. And I went over there, and it's actually on our Instagram page, the original, like, prototype for the dampers. Of course, now they've been taken up quite a few notches. There's a lot of bearings, and pretty much the internals for firebox door, everything's machined.
That makes sense. But now I'll scan your Instagram. For people that are listening to this or watching this that might be interested in welding, that's a good career when things are good. That's a really good career, right? Not easy.
Yeah, but. No, I mean, my dad, you know, I think he's a testament, kind of like, you know, he has a beautiful place out here, big nice shop and all that. And he did that, you know, by welding. And, you know, people come out and see his place. Man, this is beautiful. How, you know, how'd he get this? Did he inherit it? I was like, no, he built this, you know, he bought the land and, you know, cleared it and everything, you know, it's a process. So, but no, that was kind of my deal with welding was I never, you know, I didn't mind doing it, but I didn't want to do it. And then, you know, basically in times of my life, you know, the oil field has been up and down kind of here the last 5-10 years. So, you know, it gets hot for a minute, everybody jumps in, and then it goes back down. They lay everybody off. It's kind of just the up and part of the industry, but, you know, welding is definitely, you know, great. You know, I fall back on it, and it hasn't done me wrong yet. I always stay busy. People are always wanting stuff done.
Well, don't they also send people? I met a guy one time. I was sharing an Uber out here. It was a guy, and he went to Long Beach or somewhere. He went. They send people out to different places too, to refineries and things. Like, if you're not married, he was married.
Sure, right? Sure.
I think he'd like that he was away.
No, my best friend from welding school, his name's Brandon Bassetta. He's from down around the Houston area, and we met in welding school, and we kind of went different paths. You know, I decided to have a family and all that, and he's, I think he just got engaged like maybe a month or two ago. You know, he travels all over the world. He's, you know, he was in Norway for a couple weeks working, and then he comes back, he's at home, and then he sends me a Snapchat. He's on a helicopter going out to the Gulf. I mean, he travels all over the place. Well, and he does very well for himself. If you don't mind traveling, there's a lot of money to be made out there.
But that's and a lot of it too. Some of it is danger pay, right? Like kind of dangerous stuff. So they.
Yeah, you can get on some like pipelines if they're maybe going in and doing like repairs or something where you're actually welding on a live pipeline. So. Yeah.
Are the guys welding underwater? Is that like a whole special thing? This is way off topic.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I know it takes years off your life. And, you know, whenever I was in welding school, there was actually a guy that came and gave us all a presentation. And, you know, he made it, oh, you can make tons of money. And our welding instructor was like super old school. He was from Trinidad, actually. You know, and he'd been around the world, traveled and everything. And as soon as the guy walked out, he shut the door. You know, that thing shut the door. He looked at us. I don't want any of y'all to even think about doing that.
So, that's so funny.
You know, he pretty much let us know as soon as that guy walked out, yeah, you'll make a lot of money, but he's full of shit. You're going to die. It takes years off your life.
So yeah, you might die. Like, it's like there's a lot of other stuff you could do that's safer. Well. So then, how from there did you when you came back? Did you come back and tell your dad like after he was building that pit? Did you say, hey, let's? How did you get into this world?
Well, basically, I had done some work in the past for a barbecue place over in San Marcos that one of my best friends owns, but it was mostly just little stuff on his pits, and I made him some pit room doors with his logo. You know, simple stuff, but. Oh, cool. I've always had a passion for barbecue. I mean, I love barbecue. You know, it's always just been something about it. And then, you know, when I started seeing all the smokers being built, and I had built a smoker like in the past for myself, and, you know, I got rid of it after I built it because it was not a very good first design, but I mean, it looked good and all that. I had been planning on building a personal pit for myself for like my house. But when I went back into the wool field, I was probably working about 80 hours a week for the first year and a half I got back in. So there wasn't any time, you know, I just kind of kept it on the back burner. And then I got swapped from Brenham to down south on different projects, and they were only working like 40, 50 hour weeks down there. And so it gave me a whole lot more time. And then I told my dad, hey, you know, I'm really thinking about it. I want to build one. He was working on the competition pit for that guy. And he, well, I'll tell you what, you know, let me get done with this competition pit, and we'll build yours, or, you know, whatever. I'll help you build yours for your house. I was excited. You know, that's great. Well, I just happened, you know, I took the pictures of the prototype and the competition pit he was working on, and I started an Instagram page. It wasn't like, I maybe had to post that 15, 20 minutes, and Robert Sierra, I saw Robert Sierra liked it. Robert Jacob Lerman liked it. I was like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, maybe we're onto something here. I told my dad. Course,
I wonder how did they find you that quickly? That's interesting.
I have no idea, to be honest. Because, you know, Lerman doesn't follow me. Sierra does. And, you know, I've never met Lerman. I had never met Sierra. Now, Sierra's come out to the shop before. And I've hung out with him a few times. Super nice guy.
Such a nice guy, yeah.
I'm not really sure to this day. I mean, to be honest, I'm sitting here and by a stroke of luck, I got killings. And, I mean, that just kind of – I was kind of – at that point, I was just – I knew wool was going down. You know, I was like, well, you know, it sounds like I might be doing this again for a little while until wool goes back up. So
Killens was your first one?
Yeah, Killens was my first customer, our first customer.
That's a pretty big customer.
Yeah, and then we followed it up with Big Mo. So I don't even know where we go from here, you know. So
yeah, you just keep
Ryan
going.
With
keep
Backline. Going. Yeah, Ryan with Backline gives me a hard time. It's really funny because when I got Killens and we finished it, that was right whenever COVID was peaking. So Ronnie was, you know, he's like, hey, man, you know, let's just hold off. Don't bring it yet, you know. So it sat at my dad's shop, I don't know, maybe a month and a half. Okay. So it was really bothering me, you know, because I was like, man, you know, I was hoping to get this to him and try to get some momentum.
Yeah,
and
get it out
going.
In the open, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just kind of sitting at the shop twiddling my thumbs, you know. I had already gotten laid off, and I was started building, like, some little backyard pits just to, you know, just to keep myself busy. And I figured out, oh, you know, maybe somebody will buy him. I went and delivered Killen's bit. He really seemed to like it. You know, he gave me a pretty good review on it and all that. And then it was like a couple days later, Mo messaged me and was like, hey, you know, I like your pit. And I said, oh, you know, thanks. And he asked me what the price was. And I told him. He said, okay, I'll holler back at you. And Ryan with Backline had told me, you know, he had reached out to him and some other people. You know, me and Ryan are really close. And then Ryan's friends with Big Phil. And, you know, between me and Ryan, we know, you know, everybody talks to everybody, I guess.
Yeah,
and,
it's that kind of word.
Like, yeah, you know, Mo had hit up several other people. So I was like, okay, you know, probably nothing will come of it. He's probably shopping around, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then he said, you know, out of the blue, he messaged me. He was like, hey, I'm going to go with you. And I was like, man, that's
a fun feeling. Isn't that a good feeling? Because I used to be in sales, and when you get a good job like that, a big job, it feels good.
Yes, sir. No, for sure. Because that was kind of my deal. It came out of nowhere. And after killing, my dad was, you know, kind of, you know, he was like, oh, you know, that's cool. You know, he thought it was cool. And then whenever Mo hit us up, I think you might have got us into something here. You know, he was a little more upbeat about it then. So.
What kind of pit did you build for Ronnie?
I built him a 1,000-gallon offset. It'll look similar to Moe's. Every pit, I'm kind of like Ryan. I don't want to build like cookie cutter pits or anything. So every pit I try to do, or we try to do something different, you know, something to make it stand out.
That's smart.
No, all the others. So.
And it also, it's smart for a lot of reasons, but also too, it gives you that creativity that you want.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the deal about it. You know, my dad and me, you know, we care about how the pit runs and all that, you know, that matters to us. But more than anything, you know, we're about the craftsmanship. We have a love for what we do. You know, that was kind of the way my dad raised me was, you know, as far as welding goes, you always take pride in your work. That comes first, you know, and everything else will fall behind, you know, and fall in place. So
especially
believe it,
from 5 years old doing it.
Well, trust me, I wasn't very good at 5 years old. I wasn't very good at 18 years old. So.
No, but still, it's like there's something in your blood that's so then with that one, how long did it take? Like, Moe's, has he picked it up yet, or is it almost ready to pick it up?
No, he's actually supposed to come next week, I think, is the plan. Killen's, because I was working full-time still, and my dad was working, he works full-time as well. He works for a petroleum company, and, I think it took us about 2 months, and that was, I'd get home at 5, me and him would both meet down there around 6 or so, and work from 6 to 8:30 or so every night. Or most nights, a couple nights a week, and then on the weekends we'd hit it hard Saturday and Sunday, knock it out. Most pit, it probably shouldn't. I'm trying. That's what I'm working on right now, is kind of trying to streamline things and speed the process up. And most pit though, there's a lot of stuff on there. I got some stuff chromed, and I had a bunch of logos laser cut and stuff like that. So it added quite a bit of time to it, but. Hopefully, like on the next Killen's pit, I'm hoping to have it out in 2.5 weeks from the time.
So is that the next one? Is a Killen's pit?
I have a 500 I'm building for a gentleman in Las Vegas, Braveswood Barbecue, and he actually just secured a lot there on, I think he says down by Fremont, I think on Main Street in Las Vegas.
Wow,
that's the 500 will be going there.
Oh, cool. No, my cousin lives in Henderson, which is right outside of
there.
I want to let her know. And her husband, they always ask me about, where do we go for barbecue? I'm like, Las Vegas doesn't have a whole
option. Yeah, he's trying to do the, I guess, kind of like a Valentino's, like the Tex-Mex barbecue in Vegas. Okay. So it's really, that's really cool. And I think he's actually from Houston. So I think he knows what it's about. He's not just advertising Tex-Mex barbecue. He's actually... living it. He's
seriously, he didn't have like a yogurt shop and a tanning salon, and now it's barbecue.
No, sir, no.
I know, it's so funny. It could be like, for some people it's a trend, but the people that really care about it, that's awesome. I'll promote him, and as well as I'll send information because I want to follow him. And I'm not in California. I'm not that far from Las Vegas. We're not traveling a lot at the moment. But
I was actually supposed to go to Las Vegas for a bachelor party last weekend, so. It ended up getting moved, but
did you have one in Louisiana?
We went to Louisiana last weekend because everything in Vegas was, still kind of up in the air if it was going to be open, and it was getting later to the day. And we said, hey, Louisiana is like a 4-hour drive for everybody. Let's just move it there. So
how was
Louisiana? It was good. I never felt like unsafe or anybody. Nobody ever got my personal space. They took your temperature and all that before they let you go in anywhere. And, they had all the chairs on the tables, like, cut down. So you were socially distanced.
That's good. That's good to know. Cause I've seen photos from Louisiana and it didn't look like that. So that's good to know that possibly and I think too, also people, there's always going to be in any situation, people not complying. So people take photos of that, and that's what you get in the media more so than the people that are really trying.
Yeah. I tell my wife about that all the time. My wife, she wants, we wear masks, and she, put your mask on, put your mask on. And we were going to a funeral the other day. She's, put your mask on. I put it on. She's like, I ain't going in somewhere without my mask on, because they're going to put my face on Facebook and people are going to be chanting outside my house or something. Crazy where we are right now.
It's a really, I'm interested to see what things are like on the other side of this. Hopefully, like, I've heard terrible things about Texas, and then California, we've heard terrible things. Mm-hmm. It's getting bad again. And I hope that maybe it's overblown, and maybe they're just trying to scare people so they aren't stupid, but let's just hope. I don't like another 100,000 people dying would just be awful too.
I try not to watch the news because all it does is stress me out. So I'm not walking around oblivious or anything. I keep up with what's going on, but I don't watch the commentary.
I have some friends that I'll say, like, how are things in Texas? They're like, let's talk about recipes. Let's talk about something.
It stinks because when I went to Louisiana, I went through Houston, and I was like, man, I never go to Houston. I have an excuse. I'm going to eat some good barbecue when I'm going through. And Truth wasn't open. The inside wasn't open. Hardly any of the places that were like kind of in the general area of Houston I was going to be in were open. So I was like, crap. So I ended up just getting Whataburger and going on. So to me, yeah, you know, I'm growing up in the same market, you know, I want to go in somewhere. I want to smell that smoke. You know, I want to sit down and enjoy it right there. So.
Yeah. At City Market, they're doing, I think I saw a photo, and they're just, are they letting you in?
Yeah, or? It's no, they're not letting anybody inside. You walk up to, like, with the front door, be they have a table set up, and then you just pay there, and they bring out your box with all your stuff in it. So.
Yeah, that's
which it. Is so, still it's still really good. It's just not as good. To me, it tastes better when you eat it inside.
No, yeah, and seeing how it is inside, like, it's such a cool, iconic, different. It's a different barbecue place than any place I'd been. Like, it's just so neat. It's that's a shame. That's what I hope we get back to.
Yeah, exactly. And being from here, I kind of always taken it for granted. You know, I was just that was just kind of the norm to me until I moved away from home and was like, you know, College Station. At the time, I was living there. I think all they had was Rudy's. You know, friends would be like, "Oh, we're going to get barbecue. Well, where are you going? Oh, we're going to Rudy's." I'm not going to Rudy's. You know, I don't eat there. That's a chain. So, you know, I was thankful to be back. So, and luckily, there's a like Ernest Cervantes is getting ready to open a barbecue place in the coming months.
Oh yeah, that isn't that. That'll be great.
The burnt bean, and I'm excited about that. His food is really, really good, and it'll be like a 20-minute drive, so I can eat City Market when I want it, and then 20-minute drive down the road, I can go have crab barbecue.
Oh, and he's creative too, really creative.
Oh yeah, his food is excellent. So
that's awesome. I give
him a hard time asking him for his recipes. He gets mad at me.
Yeah, he's got like his mind is focused on one thing, and then I've bugged him many. We've set up an interview for like I think four years. It's never or 3 years never happened. We've gotten close, but it's like timing and stuff. It's which is fine. It's he's an awesome guy.
I think he stays really, really busy. So, because there's times I'll text him about something, and sometimes I hear back. Sometimes it takes him like a day or two, and then you'll hear back. So
definitely,
I think he stays really busy. So
Centex is Central Texas, right? Is that what it is?
Yes, sir. That was kind of the whole thing behind it was to me, you know, Central Texas style barbecue is kind of what everybody's going after, Texas style offset. So Centex smokers.
Yeah, yeah. What do you offer? What can you do? Which seems like you probably could do everything. And then what would if someone was to order today, what kind of lead time do you offer?
Right now we're about 2 to 3 months out.
Okay.
And but I mean, as far as what we can offer, we'll build anything. You know, we're not defined. You know, we're not cornering ourselves and just saying, oh, we're only going to do one thing. Right now, it's mainly offsets. I do have hopefully in the future, I'm waiting to confirm it, but I'm going to get into some like chicken/hog boxes, some direct fire cookers, and I'm actually working with a guy that I used to work with. In the automation industry that we're playing around with like a prototype for an automated wood burning rotisserie. But we'll see. I'm hoping maybe by the end of the year to have something. Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying to branch out, you know, like Brian always gives me a hard time, you know, cause he does so much live fire stuff. I'm like, hey, you know, why wouldn't you want to do smokers? But you know, live fire, he builds great smokers, but live fires are keeping him busy too. And you know, that's kind of one thing I told him, like, I don't want to, you know, you and Bill Scale, y'all kind of have the live fire game locked up right now. Like, I don't want to be involved in that. I'll go find something else to do. So that's kind of where the rotisserie came into it. So.
That's a great idea. And that's something, that's a niche that a lot of people that know, I don't know anybody that's really going into that niche. And also once Moe's pit gets out into the open, that's going to probably change you'll probably get a lot of people.
That's what Mo keeps telling me, and I kind of hope he's right, but I kind of hope he's wrong. You know, he's telling me, oh man, you know, your waiting list, like, you know, it's going to be years. I was like, man, please don't tell me that. You're stressing me out already. You know, I don't want that. You know, I want to stay busy, but I don't, you know, I'm in it. You know, I love to build the pits and all that, you know, that comes first and foremost. And I don't want to be stressed out, worried about, you know, somebody 2 years from now is going to be pissed off at me because I'm not done with their smoker yet.
So. Yeah. Well, just be like, I think just like anything else, not that I know about the smoker world, like how to sell things, but just be honest, just tell them like always give, and I'll maybe always give a little bit longer lead time just to be safe because that stress, like for anything, I used to sell furniture to hotels back in the day with my dad. Like I was like you, I never wanted to work with my dad. And then after college, I ended up working with my dad because it's a family business and fourth generation. But we would always, like I would be people would want something in a certain amount of time. And sometimes I'd say, okay, we could do it, kind of knowing we couldn't because of the lead time of custom stuff. And then it would always make me stressed. And so it's, yeah, that's the, you got to try to keep as low stress, especially these days, as you can.
Yeah. And that's kind of my dad. My dad's deal, because me and him, we've been partnering on these first couple pits. And he told me the other day, you know, because he has a full-time job and his job's very demanding. He's actually over like a manager of one of the pipelines his company owns. So, you know, he has a lot of headaches. He's dealing with budgets and conference. He's on a couple conference calls a day, all that. So he stays stressed out. And that's kind of been his deal. It's like, you know, when we first did Killens, you know, it was just kind of come and go as you please. We could have it done when we wanted. You know, we didn't feel like working that day. Don't work. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, with Moe's, you know, I want to get it done. He wants to get it done. And, you know, Moe wants it too. So, you know, he told me the other day, man, this is starting to feel like work. So he's like, you know, I already have a full-time job. I don't need to feel obligated to work when I get home too. And I said, no, you know, you're right. So,
yeah. Well, and eventually you could maybe bring on an apprentice or somebody else too. That.
Yeah, and we're talking about that. I'm trying to keep it in-house just because the way me and my dad are, we don't feel like, you know, if we bring in somebody else, we worry. They might be concerned about the quality as much as we are.
True.
And we have a guy in mind where I've talked to him, my dad's talked to him, and, you know, we're kind of waiting. I don't want to get too far over my skis. You know, I'm kind of wanting to see the growth happen first before I, like, lock in. So, and I'm still, you know, I don't think we're going anywhere. I think we're going to stay busy. But, you know, I guess negative or a realist, you know, I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch. You know, yeah. I'm just showing up every day. I'm going to grind and hopefully it'll all work out.
Now, it's for Mo, is that a traveling pit? Is that what he's using it for? Or?
Yeah, well, it's I think he's eventually going to have a custom built enclosed trailer for it built, is what I've understood. Mm-hmm. But he actually just bought, I think, a 50-foot trailer in West Virginia. He drove from Iowa to West Virginia to get the trailer, and then he drove it back to Iowa. And then next week he's going to come down to Texas, pick the pit up, and then drive it back to Iowa. I was like, I told him, man, you must not mind driving, because I hate driving. But yeah, I know he said, they canceled Memphis in May this year. I know it was going to be there. I think he goes to the American Royal. He said it might be there. I'm not sure. And a Kentucky Barbecue Festival. I've never heard of it, but he said that's actually one of the bigger festivals in the nation. But I had never heard of it. But he said it'll be there. So yeah, it'll definitely be traveling. And that's why I'm excited, because, you know, I think whenever he said he wanted us to build our pits, we might have had 1,000 Instagram followers, and in the span of a month, we're already over 3 grand. So
that's,
you know,
Mo's
really, you know, the day he announced that we were gonna build the pit for him, I think I had like 3 or 4 orders come in that day. So
really,
you know, it's crazy. You know, it's really that, and that's kind of the deal about Mo's pit. You know, he's always, he'll message me every other day or two, what's up, you know, can I get an update? I'll send him pictures, but I'd say, hey, you know, man, we take our time. Like, we're not fast, but we are good. Like, you know, you're not going to find anything wrong with this thing when you get it. Everything will be perfect.
Have you personally met him then?
Yeah, he came to the shop he came to the shop. He was down. I'm trying to think what he was down for. I think he was going to visit with Killen, and then he came by the shop, and he dropped off his deposit. Oh, I know what it was. He sold a pit to a guy in Houston, and then he left Houston and came to Luling to meet a super nice guy. You know, really nice guy.
Did he have was he smoking a cigar or no?
No cigar, but he didn't have on the overalls. So.
No, it's just so funny how people have, like, he has a persona that's not, it's not a fictitious or phony persona, but certain people, like, I get, like, people that have been in the barbecue business for a long time, they've created a persona, like, they, it's just their natural self, but it's so, like, he's larger than life. He's definitely, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was kind of wondering, like, when he got there, like, man, you know, he's on TV. Is he going to be rude? Like, do I need to watch what I say? Is, you know, whatever. And could not have been a nicer guy.
Yeah.
Extremely nice. And the first time he threw out, like, one of those, oh, yes, like he does on TV, I was like, okay, you know, this guy's for real. Like, you know, it's not an act.
That's exciting.
Yeah, no, super nice guy. The good thing about him is, you know, he's never been shy about promoting us. And, you know, I send him a picture. Within 5 minutes, it's on Instagram. You know, like, always complimenting our work. It's really nice. It's really helping us out, too. That's kind of our deal with Mo's Pit, you know. most bits not necessarily even about the profit anymore. I know it's going to have so many eyeballs on it, you know, it'll pay itself off tenfold. You know, I'm just going to make sure the work on it's perfect. You know, nobody can pick it apart or say something's wrong with it. Yeah. And, you know, I think everything else will fall into place.
This is so great. It's like so, and I'm glad I'm catching you kind of on the early stages of this, because it would be fun to check back in 6 months or after, like, or like maybe early next year sometime to see where the progress and like what things have happened that you thought that would happen and things maybe that are different, and also too how you've navigated this whole COVID thing.
Yeah, hopefully we're not doing the next podcast from a cardboard box or anything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like a weird thing. Like it's all fuzzy. Yeah. And hopefully the world still exists properly. I could always run out and we could just do this from together somewhere. But yeah, hopefully things will be better. And it's a weird time, but also too, the barbecue business and the restaurant business is, you know, adaptable and cagey, and they're smart. Mm-hmm. And as humans, you just have to do that in this day and age because the world changes so much.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at like Franklin's in Austin. You know, they're doing, I think, like drive-by pickups. You order 3 days in advance, and I've seen pictures where like there's like the lines all the way around the block of cars where Franklin's is in Austin. But I think that's really cool. And my brother-in-law, he works in Austin, and I told him about it. Yeah, you know, you can get to wait in line, or then you just put your order in 3 days in advance. And he got some Franklin's and took it home one day. So
that's so cool.
I haven't actually ever tried it. I need to go try it while you don't have to actually wait in line.
No, that would be, yeah, do it now while it's this way, because it's not going to be like that forever. Yeah,
I saw that they made, HEB gave all their employees like a hazard pay raise, like for the corona, so a couple dollars an hour. I saw the other day they announced they were making all those permanent. So
that's
pretty good.
Yeah. The first time I went to an HEB. Oh, do you work for them?
I was in college. Yeah, I worked in the meat market in San Marcos, and you know, it's a good company to work for. Really, truly, people are like, oh, it's just a grocery store. But if you get to the manager or work your way up, you know, it's really a great company to work for. They really do take care of their employees.
That's great to hear. We don't have anything quite close to that, but it's a nice thing. And I think they now have. When I lived there, they hadn't gone up to. I think they're in Dallas now and stuff like that. They kind of more. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think they're starting to spread up to that direction now. And I think there's even some parts of like Southeast Texas that don't have HEBs either. So, and I know out West they don't. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm used to HEB. I got to live around one. So I can't go without it. So.
Well, is your hat, is that the
El
Cucaracha? That's what I thought it was.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I ordered one. He posted them the other day. I was like, I messaged, man, that's a good looking hat. I want one. So he sent me one. So yeah,
he's a good guy too. Right
for the interview. All my other hats have sweat stains. So this is my only clean hat.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of barbecue hats, but yeah, eventually they get like that weird kind of like thing around the rim.
Yeah. Oh man, I like the hair. You got like the Matt Pittman meat church hair going on.
Oh yeah, well, I haven't cut it. I didn't cut it right before, like in December, I'm like, screw it, I'm gonna grow, and I started to grow a beard, which I shaved. But then my hair was like super long in the back. My hair grows fast, so I just took a. I got frustrated one day because it was really hot, and I just took a scissors and I cut across the back. But I have no idea what my hair looks. I just wear a hat most of the time. I'm waiting to go. It's not 100% safe to go to places out here yet. So
yeah.
But yeah, I guess it is. I was looking at it once, and I'm like, oh, it kind of looks like Matt. Because I don't even know. He probably don't even know what his hair looks like anymore. But yeah, he's. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting too as things go, and as I had mentioned, I'm doing like a pit section on my website. Mm-hmm. As you go, like I'd love to. Anytime you have a cool photo or whatever, just text it to me, and I'll start adding it to your page, because you know there's people searching for pits all the time, and all these other guys like. You're going to eventually be one of those guys, like Mo said, that is out a year, year and a half. But people look for, you know, they're always looking. And people from, I'm sure you're getting requests or interest from other states for sure. Like, look at Nevada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a guy hit me up from Australia the other day. And he asked me the price. And I told him, he's like, okay, well, that's great. The price is great. He said, but it was almost going to cost him like as much as the pit to ship it to Australia. He was like, well, you know, let me get back to you. I need to work out these shipping costs. I was like, okay. So, you know, that's kind of one thing I want. You know, I want to see one of our pits go, you know, overseas somewhere. I think that's really cool. And I know Moberg and Millskill both, you know, I think Millskill did Holy Smoke in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And I know Moberg's had some pits go over somewhere over there too. So.
Yeah. And I know that if I was supposed to interview GNR just because like they have their specific kind of box that people love and their Oilers and stuff. But I tried to interview them for a long time. I was going to interview like four of them at once and it's never happened. It will happen someday. They have stuff in Saudi Arabia. They have stuff like, cause there's, you know, Texas barbecue all over the place. And they have a lot of overseas stuff, but they also probably deal with like a freight forwarder or somebody. You have to find someone that makes sense. And that would be nice to eventually have that in your back pocket to say, you know, we have this company, they'll give you a quote. And it's.
Yeah. That, cause I haven't researched any of that or anything. So, you know, it's kind of this deal where like, you know, people are wanting to put in orders for pits and stuff. And I'm just kind of like, I just got a logo done like a month and a half ago. You know, I'm still trying to play catch up. You know, this was just supposed to be a hobby. It wasn't supposed to, you know, I didn't think, me and my dad didn't think it would ever be anything like this. So,
and you didn't think you'd be probably talking to
gives me a hard time because, you know, me and him, you know, we've talked for, you know, a while. And, you know, I told him, oh, you know, yeah, I'm thinking about starting building some pits. I sent him some pictures of that prototype when I was talking about earlier. And he was like, oh, you know, that's really cool. That's really cool. And I kept telling him, yeah, you know, I'm trying to find somebody that'll bite on a 1,000. You know, I want to build a big one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying, you know, I was pretty much, I guess, my version of cold calling people was messaging them on Instagram, just, hey, you know, I'm a new pit builder, you know, blah, 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 give them my spill, my background. And for some reason, Ronnie, you know, he bit, you know, yeah, I'll take one. And I was like, you mean like you want a pit? And he's, yeah, I want one. I was like, oh, great.
That's
great. You know,
that's so, killer.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, it's really nice, and I always speak highly of Ronnie anyways because he's a super nice guy, but, you know, could not be more appreciative because without him, you know, we wouldn't be here. True. Nobody would know who we are, so.
That's nice. It seems like he does take, not risks, but he does go outside the box to get people because I think he just wants to support the industry. What's the best ways to get a hold of you? All that jazz.
Right now, I just got our Facebook page set up this week. Instagram would probably be the best way. Mm-hmm. And just message us on Instagram or on Facebook. And I don't know how somebody got my phone number already. And I don't know where my phone number is posted, but I've had people calling me and, hey,
really?
Yeah, this is so-and-so. Yeah, I don't know where they got my phone number. But,
well, they probably, maybe so there must be a search or something. On your Facebook page, I don't think it has your first and last name, does it?
It doesn't. I went back and checked. It doesn't have it on my Instagram or my Facebook. So I don't know how this guy got my number, but he did. So I guess they're managing to find me one way or another. So they want
people, that means people are looking for you. That's good. So your Instagram handle is
@ Syntex Smokers.
Syntex Smokers, and then your Facebook's the same, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Syntex Smokers.
And you don't have a website yet, right?
No, that's coming. So it's on my list of stuff to do. I mean, I just filed my LLC paperwork like a couple weeks ago. You know, I wasn't even, like I said, this was supposed to be a hobby. And now all of a sudden it's, you know, I had to find like a guy to help me do my CPA to help me do the LLC stuff and all that. We're trying to grow as fast as we can without growing too fast. So.
That's smart. That's a smart way. And I thank you. And I only heard great things from Ryan, and I know he was kind of like messing with you that day.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's right for you. But it's I'm excited for the future for you. I you're number one. You're a good guy, and it seems like you're passionate, and it seems like you really want to do good quality work for people, and that's important. That in the end, that's the most important. So I thank you for taking the time to do this. And I know, like I've said, like, oh, have a good weekend. You're like, oh, this weekend I'm working. So that's
Well, have a good weekend. Same thing this weekend. Yeah, well, there's no such bad, you know, no such thing as a bad day. You know, we enjoy what we do over there. So, you know, it's actually kind of a treat because on the weekends, or like my dad's off today, he's off every other Friday. So he'll be in the shop with me too.
Oh, cool.
So we'll bicker at each other all weekend. So.
Well, awesome. Well, wish him a happy Father's Day belated, and happy Father's Day to you.